Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. We have a very special guest today. We always like to bring forward to the community those who are helping the community and helping throughout the country. And today we have a special guest, Rick Lofgren. Rick is the president of the Children's Organ Transplant Association, known as CATA. And we want to welcome Rick to our show today.
Well, thank you, Ron. It's a pleasure to be here.
Rick, there's a lot of people that they see the words or the letters COTA and don't know a whole lot about it. But if you go to the website, you'll see there's an awful lot of people out there in need of organ transplants. So you want to give us a little background on the CODA to begin with?
I appreciate that, Ron. And I think you're absolutely right. There are literally tens of thousands of patients that are waiting for a life-saving transplant today. And what our organization tries to do is to work with those families that have children that need a life-saving transplant to ensure that mom and dad can focus on their child's healthcare needs and their other family members' needs. And they allow us to work with a volunteer team in that patient's community to help raise money so that their focus can remain solely on their child and not have to worry about paying bills. Are we choosing between food and paying our mortgage, getting medications? We want to make sure that parents can do everything possible to keep their child healthy and keep them back on the road to recovery once they've been transplanted.
And you folks started in what, 1986?
We did. We were founded here. Our offices are based in Bloomington, Indiana, and our first patient was a little boy that needed a liver transplant. The hospital that is in our hometown of Bloomington did not do transplants, and so his family is referred to the University of Wisconsin. And at that time, liver transplants were not common and this was back in 1985, for pediatric patients. And so while they were formally going through that listing process and the evaluation process, that little boy unfortunately passed away. And so the organization was at that point just a volunteer effort. And those volunteers got together and said, there has to be at least another family in the United States that needs the same kind of help. And so they formalized the organization. And since that time, Ron, we've helped more than 4,000 kids across the country.
That's phenomenal. I want to mention, too, to folks that when people are in need of a transplant or their child or whoever, you make the donation to CATA because otherwise you make it to the person or the family directly. There's a tax implication, correct, Rick?
That's right. And a lot of our families, Ron, have Medicare or Medicaid. And while I'm sure we all want to be generous and helpful, sometimes giving parents money that have Medicare or Medicaid coverage actually could cause them to be disqualified and to lose many hundreds of thousands of dollars of medical benefits just because they get a small donation. So that's one of the things that our organization helps with is 501c3, money coming to us does not impact the tax situation for mom and dad, and it does not impact any of their benefits they might receive as well.
I see you have a note here that refers to the Band of Brothers. So yes. You want to tell me about that, Rick?
Well, I'm a World War II history buff, and over the holiday break, my son-in-law, who's in the Navy, was here, and we watched Band of Brothers again, so it's very fresh in my mind. But I liken what we do very much to what Stephen Ambrose did in that story. It is a group of people that are going through a life-changing and in many cases a life-threatening situation. And much like what happened at the Battle of the Bulge and on D-Day, I think those soldiers that went into Normandy and into Europe were trying to make a difference, and they were there for their guy next to them in the foxhole. And that's exactly what we try to do for our families. We're not here just to say, send us your bills, we'll make payments. We're there to provide physical support, emotional support, and obviously the financial support so that they can, again, focus on their kids and make sure that they get through this well.
Well, the Band of Brothers caught my eye because Stephen Ambrose, I met him in New Orleans at the War Memorial in New Orleans, just outside the city. Quite a character, a really interesting guy. And what you talk about, you know, banding together, I mean, the support that CODA does for the community and the services, no-cost services and the patient benefits. Tell us about how you are eligible for, you know, challenging grants and things like that, Rick.
Well, what we try to do is make sure that our volunteer teams have all the tools that they need to have successful events. So as an example, Ron, one of our patients that's in your community, Their volunteer team has done an incredible amount of fundraising, and in fact, have raised almost $63,000 to help with this family's out-of-pocket expenses. And what we do is we give them all the resources to be successful. We'll give them tips and tools to do fundraising events. We provide an online resource website, tools to be used on platforms like Facebook and Instagram. But we try to make sure that all of that back office work is taken care of them so that as they're doing work, they're doing it outbound, and we take care of all the sausage making behind the scenes. So much like when you walk up to your local bank, we do all the work that happens behind the teller stand, and what happens out front, what people see in this little boy's case, Levi, they focus on what happened with his heart transplant and not on all the details behind the scenes. And that's where we come in and support families.
Well, that's interesting because that's how we found out about CODA, because when the lady came in that was actually chairing the whole fundraising committee, we worked with her. We also went on site and did a live broadcast from a park where they're having a fundraising event, and it was for Levi. And that led us to you and to me contacting you to say, let's get you on the show here and tell people about all the things you do. Because when people go to your website and see there's people looking for heart, liver, lung, kidney, transplants, it just blows your mind. There are people from 5 years of age to 55 years of age on that site. It's just, it makes you very sad to see that.
It does. And that's part of why we feel like it's so important to get our information in front of families, because I think one of the things that as a parent going through this process, you're really focused on what do I need to do for my child? And there are probably friends, neighbors, people from your local church or your kid's school that want to help. And rather than bringing a casserole to your house or taking care of your pets, we really give them a mechanism to be able to help out in a tangible way that gives mom and dad that lifeline of support, allows them to focus on their kids. But really the heart of what we do is much what you're doing with your radio show. We try to engage the communities where our families are so that people can help out in many different ways. So it's making a donation, it's volunteering, it's helping out at a fundraising event. It really is a whole host of things that as a parent going through a health crisis, you can't focus on those things. You have to focus on your child. And we come alongside those families to make sure that they can focus on their kids. And then we work with the volunteers in their local community to make that happen.
So how do you get the word out, Rick? Because I know for myself and Jim, our station director here, we were not familiar with your organization. So we learned too. So how do you get the word out so people know who you are and how to contact you?
Well, what we work with primarily for getting our information in front of parents is the local transplant center team. So in Levi's case, we work very closely with the social workers and the financial coordinators at Lurie Children's Hospital. And our team will go in and do presentations for those folks. And during the pandemic, the past couple of years, it's been very difficult because all those meetings have been virtual and we're starting now to get back to live meetings. But our hope is getting that information in front of those professionals who then focus on getting that to parents. That gets us involved in the family's life. And then once we have that step covered, what we try to do is get involved with the local volunteer, getting in front of radio stations like yours and getting on this show as an example is a perfect example of how we can spread the word and help more kids. We're kind of different from a fundraising standpoint. We're not like a university where we want to raise money just to build another building or put someone's name on, you know, something, a stadium or whatever. We're really focused on the money that's raised goes to help patients. So we're not raising money for research. We're not raising money for endowments. We're not raising money to pay for a building. We're raising money to go directly to benefit our families. And I think that's what sets us apart from a lot of organizations that do this kind of work for fundraising.
So would you like to explain to people, tell them how CODA staff works with the transplant families, Rick, how that all comes together, what happens?
Well, what happens at the very beginning of the process, Ron, is once a family's decided that they'd like to work with us, we'll reach out to them and walk them through the next steps. So for mom and dad, we'll talk to them about how to submit receipts on our website, and we actually wire transfer reimbursements directly into their checking account. And while we're doing that with part of our team, we have another group of our staff members that work with the volunteers to get information out so that they can start fundraising, get the message out into their local community, and make sure that people know that this is going on. I look at it, my dad's a retired pastor, and every Sunday morning he'd ask for a gift from everyone that came to church. I kind of feel like what we do is very similar. Instead of paying for the church's operations, we're paying for those expenses that our parents have. So our goal is to make sure that those volunteers have all the resources they need, mom and dad have the resources and support that they need, and then we work in concert with the hospital staff to make sure all of those things happen. Just as an example, Ron, a typical heart patient will have more than $1 million in expenses in the first couple of years following their transplant. So that's the surgery itself. It's the inpatient stay both before and after the surgery. It's the medications that that patient will be taking for the rest of their lives. And sometimes the medications end up being more expensive than the surgery itself. And it's all those costs that a family incurs while mom and dad are not able to work. They're at the hospital. Most of our parents still do have private insurance. And so they have to keep working to keep that insurance intact. Those are all expenses that COTA can pay for. And so the gifts that are given in your community actually go to help cover those costs.
You know, I like your analogy with your dad being the pastor, because he was asking for a gift for the parish, and what you're asking for is really a gift for life.
It is.
And it truly is a gift for life. When you talk about, I see you have a note here about the fundraising team, $2,500 is awarded for every $25,000. Can you tell me how that works?
Absolutely. Those are our challenge grants. And in this particular case, the volunteer team that's raising money to help Levi, they have raised over $62,000. And for every $25,000 it's raised by a volunteer team, COTA provides a $2,500 challenge grant. So right now they've earned more than $5,000 in challenge grants, and they have a fundraising activity going on right now. It's a crocheted heart pin, and that pin fundraiser is going on through the latter part of February. If they can reach $75,000, they'll get a third $2,500 challenge grant from COTA. That money comes from donors that have come to us and said, we don't know an individual patient per se, but we know that you do, and we want to help those families. And so that money that we raise gets funneled in to help make sure that those volunteers are motivated, donors are motivated as they make gifts. But the bottom line is we want to help those families and have more money in those fundraising accounts so that they can spend that money throughout their child's lifetime.
We're going to pause just for a moment here, folks, to remind you, you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We're talking with Rick Lofgren, president of the Children's Organ Transplant Association. Rick, can you kind of walk us through? I see you have notes here about travel and lodging and things like this, and what the families go through and how you help them for those types of issues.
Absolutely. One of the things that most of our families are dealing with, Ron, is they're going to a transplant center that's not in their community. So mom and dad and the patient aren't going home at night to sleep in their own bed. So for most of our families, they're going across state, sometimes they're going across country, and transportation and lodging is one of the larger expenses that we pay for our families on an ongoing basis. And if you think about it, my wife had both of her knees replaced this past year. We had an out-of-pocket cost based on our insurance that I knew my out-of-pocket cost was about $3,500. Fortunately, Lisa had two successful surgeries. She's not going to need to have another knee replaced. So my cost is $3,500. In Levi's family's case, not only did the surgery not take place at home, and so they had travel and transportation costs, they're going to have that $3,500 cost that I would have, as an example, every year for the rest of his life. So it's $3,500 for what he incurred when the transplant took place last October. And now that we're past January 1st, everyone's insurance plan year starts back at zero. They're going to have another $3,500 in costs. And throughout his lifetime, he's going to have to go back and have clinic visits. He's going to have lab draws. He'll have all kinds of biopsies and things that will keep him healthy and alive. But those are costs that will come out of his pocket and his mom and dad's pockets. So unlike my wife's surgeries, it's a one-time thing. A heart transplant or a kidney transplant, that really is a lifetime of expenses.
Now, for a young patient like that, 4.5 years old, Levi, is that heart permanent, or does that heart have to be replaced when he's 15, 16 years of age?
You know, that's a great question. And I think one of the things that's been exciting about what has happened through all the technology that's improved our medicine across the world, a heart transplant used to be a placeholder, and it would be something that you might get and it would last 2, 3, maybe 5 years, and then you'd need another heart transplant. We have a lot of our heart patients that have had hearts for 20 and 25 years before they've needed a second transplant. And that length of time that heart is viable has increased over the years. And so it wouldn't surprise me that a young man like Levi will probably need a second heart transplant at some point, but hopefully by the time he's 35 or 40, rather than by the time he's out of high school or even in college. So our hope is that continuing to, and we don't fund medical research, but the continuing funding of medical research will help make that possible, that that heart will last longer for him than it would today for a patient that was transplanted 10 years ago, for example.
The other thing, too, I noticed that besides Levi, you have some other folks from the area, too, Rick, that that you've done work with those families, too.
We do. We have, across the state of Illinois, we have more than 100 patients that we've worked with. A lot of our Illinois patients will go to Lurie Children's Hospital. That's probably the top hospital by far that our patients go to. But in Southern Illinois, a lot of those families are going to either Vanderbilt University in Nashville or at St. Louis Children's Hospital. And some of your Northern Illinois patients will go up to the University of Wisconsin for their care as well. Unfortunately, for families right now, their health care is often dictated by what their employer's insurance plan dictates of where you go and where we've negotiated a contract. But I can tell you, if it were my kids, Lurie is the hospital that I would want them to go to because they do just a fantastic job. They have incredible medical professionals that work there. And if you had to choose between where you all live, going to Lurie versus going across the country, say to UCLA or Texas Children's Hospital, I would much rather stay close where my support network was emotionally. So I think you're in a great spot, but we've helped more than 100 kids in Illinois and many from your community as well.
I see you have one person from Woodstock, one from Arlington Heights, another from Oswego, and they're all waiting for something or are a recipient already. But it's amazing when you look at it because you just don't think about that. I don't think people think day to day about how many people that are out there that are in need of transplants of some type, whether it be liver, heart, whatever.
That's exactly right. And just in my own family, I had a cousin that had a leukemia diagnosis in 1976. His bone marrow transplant took place at UCLA, and this was before COTA existed. But I know that my aunt and my cousin were at UCLA and were inpatient for about 6 months for his transplant. Well, my uncle and my other three cousins lived at home in Kokomo, Indiana. Back when we used to have to pay extra for long distance calls, and we'd make calls on Sunday night when the costs were lower.
Oh, yeah.
But those are the kind of things that today it is much easier to find a transplant center that's closer to home, that has wonderful outcomes. For a heart patient like Levi, the success rates over 5 years are somewhere in the upper 90%. When my cousin had his transplant, there was a 3% success rate, and that's what's happened over the last 40 years. Just incredible increases in the viability of transplants and how well children will do as they become adults.
When you see this with these transplants, I'm sure that the parents sometimes wonder where the transplant came from. I know that's very confidential. I had a friend that had a heart transplant at the age of 50, and what they said was, you write a letter, give it to the doctor. The doctor will give the letter to that person. There's no names, no addresses on there, but it's kind of a thank you note. And they handle it that way. Is that still the present day way of doing it?
It is, Ron. And as an example, a few years ago, we hosted an event, brought in a donor from Texas, and the patient was from the Chicago area. We met at O'Hare Airport, went to a hotel and had a really nice event with the families. It usually is the case that the donor is someone that has been involved in a car accident or some kind of other incident. And so their family's grieving. They've just lost their loved one. And
sure.
So the process is to give that family a time to go through that, to grieve. And usually it's a year afterwards that connection is made, so that if both families want to connect, they certainly can. But they want to give both sides of that equation a little bit of time to process everything. And for most of the donors, if you, as a registered organ donor myself, if I were to pass away in that situation, I could give 7 organs that could save someone's life. And that's one of those things that they also don't want to have someone just get inundated with too many people saying, we want to meet, we want to talk to you. That would be just too hard for a family to take. And so that cooling off period gives everyone a chance to let emotions come back in line, hopefully make sure that they're doing well. But it does give the families an opportunity to say thank you.
Well, this friend of mine, he had a heart transplant for 25 years, and it came from a gentleman on a motorcycle accident in Wisconsin. And they called him. Now, he was working with Loyola Medical Center
sure.
in Maywood. And that's what they performed at his transplant at that time. But he was an adult. It wasn't like a child going to Lurie's. And they sent the letter out, and the folks responded with a letter with no names or anything. But they're very grateful, and they just felt that the tradition was going on. It reminds me of like the movie called Return to Me.
Yes.
And that movie was made in Chicago. The restaurant is a very old-time restaurant. It's still around yet. It's specialized in barbecue ribs. And they filmed it in that restaurant. And, you know, she had the heart transplant. His wife had passed away, and she wound up having her heart. And so it's very, very comforting to know that things are out there like that. And I know people are going to wonder, and first thing they're going to say is, okay, COTA does all this now. How are they paying for all this? How are these people being supported? I mean, you know, are they taking some of that money that comes in and keeping it for themselves? How does it work, Rick?
That's a great question, Ron, and one that I get almost daily. What we do is, while we're waiting to pay our family's expenses, we keep the investment income that's generated. We also do fundraising. We have a special event every September. And then we also have a building that we have space for our office. And then we rent part of the building out to a physical therapy practice. So we're able to guarantee that every dollar that comes in for a patient's benefit actually stays with them. And if a patient doesn't survive, we'll pay final arrangements. And any money that's left over at that point, that money goes to help out another kid. But the operational costs that we have are covered by our rent income, the fundraising that we do for COTA, and then from the interest income that's generated. So literally every dollar that you raised, that money is going to stay for Levi's benefit for the rest of his life.
So if people wanted to donate to COTA, do they go on your website? Is there a spot there to make a donation, or how does that work, Rick?
Yeah, if someone would like to help, they can go to COTA.org, COTA.org. And at the very top of the page, you'll see a give button. You can give to help COTA with our operational costs, or you can do a drop-down menu and you can find Levi's campaign site and you can make a donation to help the campaign fund in his honor. One of the things that we do is, because we feel like it's so important that we make sure that our patients are front and center, oftentimes we kind of become the back process. And like I mentioned earlier, kind of the teller stand, what happens behind there. We want our families to be the primary focus, and we want Levi to be the person that people see when they think about COTA. But we also do need to cover our costs too. And so if any of your listeners want to help us or help Levi directly, they can do that at our website at COTA.org.
And then, Rick, do you send a confirmation back for tax purposes back to that donor?
We do. And if they make an online donation, they immediately get a bounce back, Ron. And if they want to send a check instead, they'll get a receipt letter for us in the mail.
Well, there's a lot going on in your organization. I think there's so many points that you've covered, but there's probably a lot more that people don't know about with all the things that you're doing. I mean, how many patients per year that you're actually supporting and working with? And the way it is right now, I don't think you'll ever run out of patients, Rick.
I wish that we would put ourselves out of business at some point, Ron, but I just don't see that happening. I've been doing this for a long time, and I remember when, and I promise I'm not going to get on a political soapbox here, but when the Affordable Care Act was being talked about, one of the things that was supposed to help all patients was eliminating the benefit caps. So for many of our families, they had a $250,000 benefit cap on their health insurance, which for a transplant patient, that will get you into a surgical suite, but it won't get the transplant completed. So the Affordable Care Act from that standpoint was incredibly helpful for our patients. Unfortunately, what happened was it also increased the costs for people that had private insurance. And so we're all paying more as a result of that. So there's, without legislation, there's both good and bad outcomes. And I'm afraid that even if health insurance were to cover 100% of every transplant, it still doesn't cover those transportation, lodging, and other costs that a family would have. So unfortunately, we are going to be necessary for forever.
Well, Rick, it's about that time for us to sign off. But before we do, one last thing is, would you like to repeat, if people want to donate to COTA, how they can do that?
Absolutely. If they want to go to COTA.org, that's COTA.org, the give button is at the very top right-hand side of the donation or of the website to make a donation. But we really appreciate the opportunity to get on the show and talk to your listeners. And I'm hopeful that if families want to help, or if they know another family that might need help, like Levi's, that they can refer patients to us and would be happy to step in and step up.
Well, thank you so much. You've been listening, folks, to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We've been talking to Rick Lofkin, president of the Children's Organ Transplant Association. Rick, thank you for coming today and have a great day.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You're welcome. We've got some great news, folks. Spotlight someone special on your Huntley Community Radio Station. If you have a birthday, an anniversary, a wedding coming up, or grandparents would like to talk to the grandchildren, we can put you live on the radio to send that message to that wonderful person you'd like to connect with by having a happy birthday message or a message from your grandparent to someone you feel you'd like to make a special appeal to. To do this on our radio station, you contact Kevin Fenner, 224-760-3993, or email sales@huntleyradio.org to get that message out to someone special. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift for people to be able to enjoy hearing their voice on the radio and offering a special message to the ones that they love. Once again, Kevin Fenner, 224-760-3993, sales@huntleyradio.org. Our radio station works with donations and with sponsorships. We're a 501c3, so your donations are tax deductible. The reason we're here today is because of your donations. That's what keeps the station going. Without that, we would not be here anymore, and we'd not have a radio station. So we need your support. We thank you for your support, and those who have supported us in the past, thank you so much. And please continue your support. And those new people out there that are thinking about supporting us, please send your donation to our radio station. We're here to be your community radio station. We thank you for your time. Have a great day, everybody.